Hello again and welcome back. In his new book, Environmental Missouri, journalist author Don Cargan makes the point early on that St. Louis and Missouri run the gamut of environmental problems from A to Z. He finds the usual suspects on land, sea, and air, burning subterranean landfills, lead tailings, polluted waterways. He finds others we may not have given much thought to, flying Asian carp and McMansions. Even looks at the pros and cons of backyard chickens. The full title of his book is Environmental Missouri, Issues and Sustainability, What You Need to Know. Don Cargan is also professor of journalism at Webster University, as well as editor and co-publisher of the Times newspapers. He is a member of the Society of Environmental Journalists, and he joins me in studio. Don, so nice to see you again. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Don. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations. Yet another one for the local libraries, huh?
Well, yeah. I use all three of the books that I published in the last couple of years for a class, a course on environmental outdoor journalism. It's a certificate. So we cover outdoor nature writing. We cover natural disasters in another course. And then this is sort of the capstone, right. Environmental Missouri.
You call this a primer.
It is kind of an introduction to all the issues that are out there in Missouri. So it's not meant to be an intensive treatment of each issue. It's meant to introduce people to each one. And also I do a Q&A with each issue with somebody who's an expert in that area.
This is really quite a different format, is it not?
It is different. You know, I struggle to find textbooks for classes, and I'm always frustrated because they usually do five or six issues, and two of them are related to what's going on out west, which doesn't really work for students. So this is kind of a first to do something that's a local guide to what we have going on here in Missouri.
You know, it seems to me that what this does is point out, as you do, that Missouri has all the environmental issues from A to Z. They're all right here, aren't they?
They are. And I say this several times in the book that we should make lemonade out of our lemons, because St. Louis is a prime spot to do ecotourism kinds of things where you bring people in to examine what we got going.
Well, there's plenty going, too. We can talk more about
right.
this ecotourism. You also say in the book, while we're on this part of the discussion, that you don't expect the politicians to be too happy with it.
Well, it's not the best way to talk about dioxin and radioactivity and brownfields and lead. But I really think that they should take a look at this and think about what you can do with it. You know, the Society of Environmental Journalists came here for their convention a few years ago, brought 1,500 people into St. Louis to look at all these different sites and do field trips.
Would it be fair to say, do you think, that our state suffers from a legislative lethargy, if you will, when it comes to environmental issues?
I think you're being kind. Yes. Yes. Our legislature has never been on top of these situations. In fact, they've been an impediment to some of these issues many times addressing them.
What are the biggest challenges? You cover so many different issues here.
Well, I was interviewing a woman who's involved with the Green Dining Alliance this morning. She says, sometimes you need to raise your voice, and sometimes you need to meet people where they're at. And some of the issues that I think we need to raise our voices about are what's going on at West Lake Landfill, what's going on with Coldwater Creek, the radioactive contaminants that are still out there. We certainly need to be concerned about E. coli and the contamination that's out at Lake of the Ozarks or in our watershed with the Jack's Fork or the current river. So there's no shortage of issues to raise our voices about.
One of the things that many people do and a lot don't realize is that some of the problems that we're dealing with today are not new problems. As you've just indicated, we're talking about some of the fallout, if you will, no pun intended, of the kind of research we were doing during the Manhattan Project back in the days of World War II.
Sure. A lot of them go back to wartime, you know, requirements. With the dioxin problem in Times Beach, and there still is some dioxin issues around here in St. Louis, that goes back to, you know, Agent Orange and the remains of what that program was about. The dioxin actually came from the Agent Orange production. And you're right, with Weldon Springs, we're talking about the yellow cake that went into the nuclear program. When SEJ came here for that, they talked about St. Louis as Atomic City because that's one of the things they focused on. it's interesting that St. Louisans don't really know about this as well as they should. You know, when I go on speaking engagements and signings, I talk about the Welland Spring Pyramid where they buried all this stuff, and it's like a it's like a light bulb goes off. I didn't even know this was happening in my area, you know.
You know, you mentioned dioxin a moment ago, and we've both been around here long enough to remember Russell Bliss and dioxin and the EPA and Times Beach and all the rest of it. And you're saying it's still an issue in Missouri?
Well, there's still spots that haven't been cleaned up, just like there's still spots that haven't been cleaned up with the program to make the process the uranium in the Yellowcake. So, and that's been very much in the news. I mean, that's one thing that has captured people's imagination. How can a landfill continue to burn, and how can it be so close to this radioactive dump? And what are all these problems with creating a barrier to stop them from merging? I mean, and there's a lot of questions about what happens if that fire ends up in the radioactive contaminated area.
Yeah, it sure is. And health issues are something that have already surfaced in many cases. We're talking with Don Corrigan. We're talking about his new book, Environmental Missouri, Issues and Sustainability, What You Need to Know. Don, we have to take a break. Let's do that. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation. And if there's anyone in the audience who wants to get into this discussion, do so by calling us at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send us a tweet, do so at STL On Air. Back with Don Corrigan momentarily. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation with Don Corrigan, author, journalist, educator. His book is Environmental Missouri, Issues and Sustainability. We'll continue that in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster has gone to court today seeking to stop gay marriages performed at St. Louis City Hall last night. As we talked about moments ago, the city is directly challenging Missouri's constitutional ban on gay marriage as it issued marriage licenses to four same-sex couples and they were married yesterday. Several area school boards are meeting today and they could decide what action they'll take regarding transfer students from Normandy. The Francis Howell School District announced last week that it would no longer accept students from Normandy following the state's takeover of the district. The Environmental Protection Agency says preliminary radiation screening results showed no public health risk at the Bridgeton Municipal Athletic Complex. Private testing requested by concerned residents in the spring indicated elevated levels of radiation in drainage areas near the complex. And the USA men's soccer team is in action right now against Germany and trying to secure a bid to the knockout round. If you don't want to hear the score, turn down your radio. Germany leads the USA by a score of 1-0 at about the 85-minute mark. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Well, it's always in the news. One of the headlines here, Don, concerned the Bridgeton Municipal Athletic Complex. Yet another example of the kinds of things you're talking about.
Exactly. You know, my book isn't all heavy issues and toxics, so one of the things I wanted to do also is do some positive things that are going on in this area. So that's why I included this section on sustainability, which is a movement the young people are really getting into, which is sort of a grassroots approach to this.
But you have you raised the issue, as others have, with regard to the use of the word sustainability. Is it a word that bothers you?
It did bother me when it first came out. And when at Webster University they wanted to change the environmental committee to the sustainability committee, I was worried that you know, maybe this is a way to water down some issues and avoid the tough stuff. But actually, I've come around on that. I'm really impressed by young people who are looking to change things at a grassroots level and looking at what you can do to reduce your carbon footprint, what you can do to have a more sustainable lifestyle.
What you do is raise a lot of issues, and as we've indicated, a great many of them. What about solutions to these problems? Are you able to come up in your book with any solutions?
Well, I think here in St. Louis, there's a lot of people working on those solutions, and we have institutions that are great, whether it's the Missouri Botanical Garden, whether it's the Science Center, whether it's Washington University. If you look at all the programs that are out there trying to deal with, for example, what's going on with pollinators, why is there colony collapse disorder, there must be three or four different science institutions in St. Louis that are looking at that. The Asian carp issue, there's people looking at that and the problem with invasive species. I think what the zoo's doing with Ozark hellbenders is phenomenal. We have this issue in Missouri where the Ozark hellbenders are disappearing. They're endangered.
What's a hellbender?
A hellbender is a large salamander. And most people may say, well, who cares about a salamander? Well, the problem is the loss of those animals tells us that there's something wrong with the water. And in this case, there's a number of things, whether it's the recreation use of those rivers, sediment, E. coli from trail rides and other areas. So we're losing this special salamander that's particular to Missouri. And so we're down to about 300, and a few years ago the zoo took an interest in this, and they've actually created an artificial Ozark stream underneath the reptile section of the zoo, and they've actually finally successfully bred them, and they're up to like 3,000 hellbenders. But now the issue is what do we do with them? How do we reintroduce them into these rivers that have this contamination and aren't the best living environment for them?
Well, of course, that brings us to the Asian carp situation, where it seemed rather a benign problem at first, but now because of their ability to breed, it's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem. It's funny when I go on these book signings and lectures, that's what everybody wants to talk about in this book. They want to talk about Asian carp, or they want to talk about Peanut the turtle who got twisted up in plastic pollution. They want to talk about the bees. They want to talk about backyard chickens or the hellbenders. In the case of the Asian carp, have you had any encounters yourself with Asian carp?
No, I haven't, but I've seen plenty of videos.
Right, right. Yeah, I've actually kayaked out of Creve-Coeur Lake, and I was like nonplussed when all of a sudden these huge fish, they're very aggressive, started jumping out at me. They were introduced by sewer districts in Arkansas and also by catfish pond raisers. And they're not bottom feeders. They eat the algae at the top. Well, when they introduced these, they didn't realize that they were going to get loose when things flooded and get into our rivers, and they just take over. So right now it's estimated like 60 to 70% of the biomass in the Illinois River is actually Asian carp. And the Great Lakes folks are just beside themselves, because if they get into the Great Lakes, it'll destroy sport fishing, which is part of their tourism.
We have an email from Amber in Maplewood wondering whether you have any designs of perhaps doing a companion book dealing with the same kinds of situations in Illinois. there's another assignment for you, Don.
Yeah, when you just get done tackling something like this and you can finally breathe easier and put it to rest, it's kind of hard. I think a more national book on some of these topics. I'm going to be presenting this book at the Society of Environmental Journalists Convention in New Orleans in September, and I think that's one of the things I'll be talking with some of my colleagues. That's an impressive group, by the way. A lot of Pulitzer Prize winners who've got books, and nationalizing this might be the way to go.
Well, it's a huge story. It's a huge story, and a lot of people are just choosing to ignore it for whatever reason. Everything is about climate change, and it's certainly important, but there are a lot of other things that are closer to all of our homes. You mentioned early on the subject of ecotourism. Let's be a little more specific about what that would involve. We're perfectly situated here, as you've indicated in the book, for dealing with some of these problems. What about this tourist thing?
I think that's something that civic leaders should look at, and they might look at that SEJ convention a few years ago as kind of a template for this. What they do when they do a 3-day convention is they spend the whole first day doing field trips, you know. Mm-hmm. So you got the lead contamination in the lead belt and Herculaneum. You've got dioxin at Times Beach. You've got the radioactive site there at Weldon Springs. You've got trouble with the rivers. You've got – I mean, there's just a whole lot of stuff to do. And then after they do that first day of field trips, they come back and they talk to local scientists and politicians on how are you addressing these kinds of concerns. And I think St. Louis, instead of trying to bury this and sweep it under the rug, I mean, we should really confront it.
You know, I can think of a couple of situations here that we're familiar with, in which the people who have stood up against the big corporations have found themselves being slapped down pretty convincingly. I mean, there are coal ash issues. There are others, and I won't get into each and every one of them. But you know what I'm talking about. It's very, very tough. You talk about raising our voices, but you raise your voice against a corporation with its billion-dollar attorneys, and you've got a tough fight in your hands.
You do, but it's a slow process, and we are making progress on some of these issues. One of the things that's interesting to me, I've been invited to speak to a couple of companies that tend to be green to begin with, whether they're doing solar panels. But a lot of corporations now have green teams, and they're working on sustainability efforts within their companies. And I think it's amazing when you look at, Green St. Louis and some of the things that are being done here. I think there's an increasing awareness. One of the things we're going to be doing this fall with the Gateway Media Literacy Partnership Group is taking a look at awareness, taking a look at how the media is covering this. And I think that it's encouraging that people are just starting to realize that these are issues that affect them in their own backyards. And it's something that they need to think about.
You have a number of engagements, if you will, signings and what have you coming up. I'll give those at the end of this, at the end of our discussion here, Don Corrigan. Let's take a call. Jay in Normandy wants to get into this discussion. Let's bring him in. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, guys. I think education's a key, and little things can help. And there was a St. Louis U professor that wrote a column in the Post recently about the little things you can do. You can turn off your car more. You don't have to sit there and idle it. I work with people, unfortunately, that think they have to go in an air-conditioned car so they leave the thing running and they waste gas. They go through drive-through restaurants, and that's a big gas waster. So there's a lot of little things that people can do. Don, let me ask you this. How hopeful are you that things will turn around on the environmental front? Just now, people that were in line for solar power or solar installations are getting messed over by Ameren and such. So I'm hopeful that our political climate's going to change and the politics of Jeff City will change. Thank you.
Well, I hesitate to bring up the name Al Gore because he's such a lightning rod on these kinds of issues, but he's got an article in Rolling Stone, this issue, where he talks about we may not need subsidies much longer when it comes to wind power or solar because they've actually reduced the cost of producing these things. And at that point, they're going to become so competitive that the fossil fuel industry is going to be hard put. They're going to be the ones that need the subsidies and the politicians behind them to stay in business.
You know, Don, in your book, and we're kind of bouncing around here, but our time limitations necessitate that, you take to task what you call McMansions. What's that all about?
The McMansions issue came to my attention as a reporter for the Webster Kirkwood Times in Kirkwood, when all of a sudden you have two or three small houses being bought up, and then you put this giant McMansion in place. And there's a lot of problems with that. There's problems with, the water situation, runoff. There's problems with how much energy they take. There's problems with how much they destroy the ambience of a neighborhood. They're also not sustainable. They're difficult to sell oftentimes. I kind of used an extreme example of the book with Daryl Atkinson's 30 million mansion that he built in Lake St. Louis. This is the classic example of this.
But would it be all right if they put chickens in the backyard?
That's a fun story to cover, too, which is a local story for me. I think the city councils and the boards of aldermen have been pretty good about putting the kinds of restrictions that stop the neighbors from complaining. We'd hear about it in my community newspapers if neighbors got upset with how this is being handled.
But so what's the advantage of having chickens in your backyard, aside from the fact that the eggs are fresher?
Well, have you had Bill Rupert from Kirkwood, the chicken man? He could elaborate on this. He helps me out with the Q&A on this. Basically, the chicken doo-doo is great for composting and for fertilizer for your garden. The eggs are fresher. They're better. in some ways, I think it's sort of a symbolic thing, but it's an example of this move towards sustainability.
Just one of the things that Don Corrigan talks about in his book, and he discusses many of them. The name of the book is Environmental Missouri, Issues and Sustainability, What You Need to Know. Don, I'm going to go through a list of places you're going to be for folks to catch up with you and learn more about the book and some of the things you're talking about. He'll be talking about the book at a special signing at Christopher's in Kirkwood from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 12th of July. He'll talk about the book and do a PowerPoint at Washington, Missouri Public Library on Tuesday, July 22nd from 3 to 5 p.m. That's not very far from Labadie, where they have that coal ash.
I expect to see some of those folks.
I suspect that you will. He's a longtime member of the Society of Environmental Journalists. SEJ will conduct a panel on the future for teaching environmental journalism on September 6th at the SEJ conference in New Orleans. You've mentioned that. And the Gateway Media Literacy Partnership's week-long program throughout St. Louis titled Environmentalism, Our Media Ecosystem, which will look at how the news media are covering such issues as global warming, which is exactly what we've done here today with Don Corrigan. Don, good luck with the book. Once again, I'll mention the name is Environmental Missouri, Issues and Sustainability, What You Need to Know. Nice job. A lot of hard work, obviously, went into that. Good luck with it.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Don Corrigan. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk about the Sheldon's STL 250 photography exhibit and Union Avenue Opera's 20th festival season. He'll also take a look at a website that provides information year-round about all the free concerts in the region. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about efforts to raise the percentage of St. Louis high school students that go on to college and have success there. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Camille Phillips, Aaron Dorr, Kyle Jacoby, Amanda Huntingfort, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.